The Fleischmann's Geese Hour, directed by Rudy Vallee. And it's a big-time company in our variety theater this evening. The dramatic personage, Graham. Helen Lind, one of the most attractive and amusing young stars of the revue stage. The first night of a new play by Clifford Odets, author of Awake and Sing, who has written especially for radio, a play based on an episode in the life of Sarah Bernhardt, the great French actress. Mr. Odets' radio drama will be performed by
the acting company of the group theater, including Stella Adler,
Alexander Kirtland, Morris Karnowski, Roman Bonin, and Eunice Stoddick. Then there is the man who made Eyes a Muggin a new national pastime. We shall present the extraordinary swinging of
Duff Smith and his band.
And a very exciting and we also have with us this evening
Eddie Cantor.
Eddie Cantor himself. So prepare for
Helen Lind, the group theater acting company in a radio play by Clifford Odets.
Duff Smith and his band, and Eddie Cantor. On with the show. Enter in holiday humor, Rudy Vallee and the Connecticut Yankees.
Thank you.
delightful young comedian whom we are happy to present this evening has in her time played many parts. A quotation from Shakespeare, whose birthday it is today. Miss Lind, however, has not chosen to celebrate this anniversary by playing Juliet, for which, as Shakespeare also said, much thanks. Miss Lind appears rather in a sketch concerning the George H. Kibosh Manufacturing Company. George H. Kibosh is played by Hank Ladd. The scene is the executive office of the company, which it seems requires the services of a private secretary. On the phone is Mr. Kibosh.
Hello, Whizbang Employment Agency. This is the Kibosh Manufacturing Company, 1485 Broadway. I want a young lady for a private secretary. She must have a good education and ample experience. One who can take dictation rapidly and accurately. Yes, thank you. Goodbye. Come in.
Hello. I'm from the Whizbang Employment Agency.
Kind of slow service.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you realize it's 3:30?
Yes, sir.
Then why do you say good morning in the afternoon?
I didn't say good morning in the afternoon. I just said good morning.
But you should say good afternoon.
But it isn't a good afternoon, and it was a good morning.
All right, we won't argue about that.
I came in answer to your request for a private secretary.
Well, what experience have you had as a private secretary?
None. I'm one of the army of unenjoyed.
Unenjoyed, Well, what education have you had? That is, what scholastic education have you had?
Oh, I just graduated from school.
I see. And what school were you graduated from?
From the school I went to.
Yes, I know. But what school did you go to?
Oh, I don't go there anymore.
I know. You are graduated from the school you went to, and you don't go there now. But before you were graduated, you went to the school you were graduated from. Now, what school was it?
Oh.
Oh, what?
Oh, Sullivan.
Tell me, how old are you?
16 and a half.
16 and a half. And when's your birthday?
Tomorrow.
What? How can you be 16 and a half today and 17 tomorrow?
Oh, no. Tomorrow I'll be 17 and a half.
Well, how do you figure that out?
I'm going to be 17 tonight.
16 and a half today, 17 tonight, and 17 and a half tomorrow. What kind of mathematics is that?
Wait, maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you're wrong.
Oh, I know. Tomorrow isn't my birthday.
Oh?
It used to be, but it isn't anymore.
Now just what are you talking about?
A few months ago, my mother said that my birthday was tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
But tomorrow won't be tomorrow tomorrow, will it?
No, I don't.
No, it'll be today, huh?
Yeah.
And tomorrow, today will be yesterday, huh?
Oh.
Did you hurt yourself?
Oh, no, it's all right. Where was I? Oh, yes. Do you know anything about stenography?
Of course I do.
I mean, do you know anything beyond the fact that there is such a word?
Absolutely.
Good. Can you take a letter?
You mean to the post office?
No. Can you take it down in shorthand?
Oh, that.
Well, can you?
Sure.
All right. Let me see you take dictation. Are you ready?
You got a pad?
Yes, here's a pen.
And a pencil?
Yes, here's a pencil.
An eraser?
Young lady, if you need an eraser, never mind.
No, I don't need an eraser.
All right, then.
I can use a wet finger.
If you're going to make mistakes, it's no use.
Oh, I never make mistakes.
Then what's the wet finger for?
To turn pages.
Oh, all right. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Take this down. Smith, 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 and Smith.
Yes, sir.
What have you so far?
Smith.
But I said Smith, 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 and Smith.
I know. I heard you the first time.
355th Avenue.
533rd Avenue.
355th.
533rd.
The Empire State Building.
Yes, sir.
New York, New York.
New York, ditto.
Gentlemen.
Dear sir.
I said Smith, 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 and Smith, and I say they're gentlemen.
I work for them, and I say they're not gentlemen.
All right. Dear sir.
I've got that.
Dear sir, yours is the 15th at hand in regard to our delay in the shipping of our automatic wishbone remover. In reply, we beg your indulgence as we are slightly behind schedule. Thanking you for your patience and understanding, we are yours sincerely, Kibosh Manufacturing Company. Now read what you have.
Dear sir. Keep your shirt on. Don't rush us. Affectionately, Kibosh Manufacturing Company.
That's not what I said.
Yeah, but you didn't ask me what you said. You asked me what I had.
But you're supposed to have what I say. No, don't write that. I'm just talking to you now.
Mister, I don't know when you're talking to me or when I'm supposed to have what to say.
Well, what I say now is what you should have.
Well, what should I have?
You should have what I say.
Well, what did you say?
I said that you should have what I said you should have.
Well, so far, this letter isn't very interesting.
Oh, listen, it's not important whether you think the letter is interesting or not. What is important is that you have what I say.
Well, I have that.
You have what?
What you said.
Well, what did I say?
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Oh, nothing's the matter. I remember now. You are an autumn crocus, and I am a homing pigeon. And I am going to fly away home.
Operator, give me circle 73,000. Hello? Is this the Whizbang Employment Agency? Well, this is Helen Lynn. I'm awfully sorry, but you'll have to get me another boss. Yes. This one jumped out of the window, too.
The master of our percussion section, the pride of Methuen, Massachusetts, one Frank Frizzell, is going to tell you the story of Baghdad.
I can see. And he says to his dad, let me carry your bag, Dad, the bag, Dad, Dad. Let me carry your bag, Dad, the bag, Dad. Let me carry your bag, Dad, the bag, Dad, Dad. You should be terribly glad, Dad, when you're clapping through the desert in the sun. You'll find out that bag, Dad, is the fun. So let me carry your bag, Dad, the bag, Dad, Daddy. Carry your bag, Dad, the bag, Dad. Let me carry your bag, Dad, the bag, Dad, Dad. And I promise to be a good lad, Dad. For some prickly pear you eat, and you get the prickly heat. So let me carry your bag, Dad, the bag, Dad, Dad.
Days of radio, names of announcers were not given. Scores of letters used to come into station WEAF addressed to Good Evening, Ladies and Gentlemen, the radio audience. Of course, these letters all went to Graham McNamee. It was Graham who led the way in being informal and friendly on the air. He's here now with something he wants us all to hear.
I'd like to have you all think back to this morning and this afternoon. Was there a time you were a bit upset over something? When you ran out of patience, or when you felt you were being treated unfairly or being slighted? Being upset just once doesn't mean anything. But if you're being upset quite often, you should suspect yourself of being run down and take steps to get over it. When you understand the usual cause of a run-down condition, it's not surprising you're short of patience, grouchy, and feel the world's against you. Your blood is carrying too many poisons and not enough of the right nourishment to your nerve and muscle tissues. Your nerves and muscles really are not getting enough to eat. So naturally, you feel edgy. And just a little exertion makes you tired. What you need is to purify and enrich your blood. And that's exactly what you do when you eat Fleischmann's yeast. This tonic food acts to clear your blood of poison and helps it carry better nourishment to your muscles and nerves. And when this happens, your sense of humor comes back, and also more patience and tolerance. Eating Fleischmann's yeast has helped many thousands in this way. Let it do the same for you.
Fascinating sounds that are wafting around as I speak at this moment are not supplied by the Connecticut Yankees. They emanate from our guest, Duff Smith and his band. Duff, his first name is really Leroy, invented Eyes a Muggin, one of the most popular pastimes since they stopped blowing in here and pushing the first dial down. Duff and his five stuffians are the big thing at the Onyx Club in New York, where they have everybody a muggin. For a brief and instructive course in the art and science of swing, meet Duff Smith and his band.
Thank you.
And now the famous Isa Muggins, during the course of which Tuff will give the audience here certain instructions. And we want everyone here and at home to follow those instructions and join in. All right, Tuff? Start a muggin.
Isa Muggins, boom, da da. Isa Muggins, boom, da da. Isa Muggins, boom, da da. Bebop, 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 bebop. Nobody knows just how it started.
I know they don't, man.
Somebody blew it to a horn.
Man.
Somebody played it on a fiddle.
You, sir.
Somebody sang it and the song was born.
I hear you.
Now it's the craze, the new sensation.
It is.
If the tune the band will swing, I hope.
Yeah,
it's the phrase that drives the nation, Jackson. Don't stop me, big boy. I'm gonna sing this
thing.
Now, I'll the muggin boom.
Da da da.
I'll the muggin boom.
Da da da.
I'll the muggin boom.
Da da da. Bebop, 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 bebop.
I went down to the railroad station.
The railroad station.
That's the railroad station.
What old station, man?
The Lehigh station, man.
What'd you do?
I called the cat.
Called the cat?
Yes, called the cat.
You called what cat, sir?
I called the red cat, sir.
Who, me, sir?
Yes, you, sir.
Not me, sir.
Well, then who, sir?
Must have been the blue cap, sir.
Who, me, sir?
Yes, you, sir.
Not me, sir.
Then who, sir?
Who means to my friend?
Yes,
with you, sir. Not Mr. Palsy Wild.
Well, then who, sir?
Him, the red cat, sir.
Who means, sir?
Yes, you, sir.
Not me, sir.
Well, then who, sir?
The red cat, sir.
Who means, sir?
Yes, you, sir.
Not me, sir.
Then who, sir?
Our red cat, sir.
Who means, sir?
Yes, you, sir.
Not me, sir.
Then who, sir?
Our the black cat, sir.
Oh. I'll the muggin boom,
da da da.
I'll the muggin boom,
da da da.
I'll the muggin boom,
da da da. Bebop, 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 bebop.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to explain this little Isa the muggin game to you. Now, here's the way you do it. You start counting from number one and you count to number eight. Every time you hit a seven, say, Anytime you hit anything, seven will go into evenly, like 21, 35, 49, so forth, say, Understand? And anytime you run across any zeros, like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, and so forth, say, whoop, whoop. All right, now, here we go. We're going to count on the back for you. Look out there now. Look out, honey. Look out there. One, two, three, four, five, six, eight.
40 Valley, fresh from my lesson in a muggin and continuing the Fleischman G-Star. Our bill this evening includes Helen Lind, Duff Smith and his band, the group theater presenting an original radio play by Clifford Odets, and Eddie Cantor. Before continuing, may I take this opportunity to thank the Women's National Radio Committee for selecting our program as the best in the field of comedy, drama, and variety. At this moment, the three graces are emerging from a muggin to go into I'm Putting All My Eggs in One Basket. About 5 years ago, when the Yankees and I were in Miami, we heard about a young Seminole Indian who was doing pretty well as a comedian. Always on the lookout for fresh young talent, we asked him to go on our program. Since then, he has enjoyed, shall I say, at least a modicum of success on the radio stage and screen. I've always suspected he even had before we dug him out of the Everglades. At any rate, he's with us again tonight after all these years, emerging now from the wings with his banjo eyes agleam, Eddie Cantor. Eddie, I think it's awfully nice of you to come on my program.
Say, you came on my program on my 5th anniversary. Why shouldn't I come on your celebration program?
Celebration program? This is no celebration.
Listen, Rudy, anytime Cantor works on the radio for nothing, it's a celebration, don't worry.
Say it. Have you met all the boys in my orchestra?
No, Rudy, I'd love to meet them.
Well, over there in the violin section are three boys, Vladimir Selinsky,
yeah.
Zeli Smirnoff,
mm-hmm.
Sadie, and the sax section is Toots Mondello.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few boys.
Well, there, Mondello and Yasha Sadie and Smirnoff and Selinsky. I see, the Connecticut Yankees. Well, I'm glad to know you fellas. Rudy, I was so happy about you appearing on my program that I thought I must return the compliment.
Thank you, Eddie. I enjoyed being on your program, too, especially when we did that joke where you let me hold your gold watch.
Oh, yes.
Why, just trusting me with that watch was a compliment.
Yes, that's why I'm here. I wish you'd return the compliment, Rudy.
I'm sorry, Eddie, but I simply must keep that watch of yours as a remembrance.
I see. My time is your time. You know, you can keep it, Rudy. You probably need it to get yourself up in the morning.
I suppose you have trouble getting up in the morning, too, Eddie, judging from the late hours you keep.
I keep late hours?
Oh, don't deny it. I saw you at a very expensive nightclub the other night.
Well, I'll admit I went to a nightclub, but all it cost me was the price of a cheese sandwich.
Is that all?
You bet. They can't give me. No, sir, not Canada. I saw the whole floor show.
I didn't throw any money to the singers. I didn't buy any cigarettes or wine. And I had a time of my life all for the price of a cheese sandwich.
And was the cheese sandwich good?
Not bad for $17.50. Why, do you think I overpaid, Rudy?
$17.50 for a cheese sandwich? Why, you could buy a house for that in Maine.
Oh, yeah? Boosting Maine, probably.
I suppose you think you fooled them.
Don't say anything. I took away a bottle of mustard. Here, look, Rudy. But come to think of it, maybe they did overcharge me.
Say, just because you're a canter, you can't expect them to give you jewelry on a plate.
Why not? Didn't Al Jolson get a beautiful ruby out of a nightclub? Whoa. 34, 35. Oh.
That's good. But one night when I was in a nightclub, I really saw a woman get a pearl out of an oyster.
That's nothing. I once saw a chorus girl get a diamond out of an old crab.
You know, Eddie, the only thing I don't like about those nightclub shows are the fan dancers.
Yeah?
I don't care for that stuff.
Oh, not much you don't. The last time we saw Sally Rand together, you reminded me of a peninsula.
A peninsula?
Yeah, a long neck stretching out to sea.
The only way I can keep out of trouble is to ask you to sing. How about it?
All right, Rudy, here's one of your favorite songs. Dust off that old piano. Please, Louis.
Oh, Susanna, dust off that old piano. My hands are rich and for those keys. Our troubles will go winging the moment we start singing all our favorite melodies. We'll get the gang around that used to hang around, and when the neighbors hear us singing Sally, we'll forget about Rudy Valley. Oh, Susanna, I'll let you sing soprano just off the old piano tonight. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, that's the scale everybody ought to know how to play from do to do. There is nothing finer than a minor strain. It's the kind of melody gets a lot of sympathy. Accordion C is beautiful. I heard somebody say it. Accordion G is wonderful. Accordion to the way they play it. Oh, Susanna, just off that old piano. My hands are reaching for those keys. It's been so many, many ages since we last turned the pages of our favorite melody. Oh, look, your father's here, and here's your mother, dear. It's time we had the parlor freshly painted. Time for us to get reacquainted. Oh, Susanna, take off your old bandana, dust off the old piano tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, you must know what I think about war. In this next song, I hope I may be voicing your sentiments too, if you please.
The dogs of war are growling, once more the papers say, and battle clouds are starting to appear. But if they try to drag us in, we'll place, they go away, we're minding our own business over here. If they feel like a war on some foreign shore, let them keep it over there. If some fools want to fight and think might make right, let them keep it over there. From coast to coast you'll hear a million mothers pray, whatever happens, please don't send my boy away. We're for you, Uncle Sam, but stay out of that jam. Let them keep it over there. If they feel like a war on some foreign shore, let them keep it over there. If some fools want to fight and things might make right, let them keep it over there. From coast to coast you'll hear a million doughboys cheer. Our job is to protect our loved ones over here. With an ocean between, let us keep our hands clean. Let them keep it over there.
Tonight, we're without the genial presence of Dr. Lee. His work in health research is keeping him away from the microphone this week. However, he has sent us a message which Graham McNamee will give us now.
Dr. Lee writes, "We all admit the folly of whipping a tired horse. Yet how frequently we commit the same error in regard to ourselves. When we're run down and worn out, we force ourselves to go on. Then become tense and nervous because we're not getting more done and so make our trouble worse. How much better it would be to understand what is at the bottom of this condition and act accordingly. Chronic fatigue usually means your muscles and nerves are not being properly nourished. They are not receiving enough of the right kind of food from the blood. Your blood must be made richer and purer. To accomplish this, I suggest that you eat Fleischmann's yeast. It has an abundance of vitamins and other necessary food elements. In addition, it gently stimulates the entire digestive system to more normal activity. Thus, the blood is enabled to pick up more and better nourishment to carry to the half-starved nerve and muscle fibers. As this takes place, your energy and vitality increase, and your nerves become more settled. You are able to do the work you used to dread with ease and enjoyment. For the quickest and best results, eat one cake of Fleischmann's yeast a half hour before each meal. Within a few weeks, you should notice a distinct gain in your vitality and spirits."
I have often wished that some of our major American dramatists would write radio plays to present in our variety theater. Therefore, it was a great pleasure to learn that Clifford Odette, young author of Awake and Sing, Waiting for Lefty, and Paradise Lost, had written one. More than that, the players of the group theater, which begins a tour of Awake and Sing at Ford Theater in Baltimore next week and in Chicago the following week, told us that they were ready to act it. we believe that the presentation of an original radio play by so distinguished an author as Clifford Odet is a major event, and we are fortunate in having it played by the original cast of Awake and Sing. Mr. Odet's radio drama, which we offer in a condensed version, is based on an episode in the life of Sarah Bernhardt, the Divine Sarah, as she was known in the theaters of the world. The players are Stella Adler as Madame Bernhardt, Alexander Kirkland as Michel, her lover, Eunice Stoddard as Marie, her maid, Maurice Karnowski as Major Lefebvre, and Roman Bowen as Louis Dubois. The other roles also are played by members of the group theater. Presenting then, the group theater in Sarah Bernhardt by Clifford Odet.
World War, 1915, early spring, Paris, France. German guns shower Paris with destruction. All day and night, footfalls of marching troops echo in cobblestone streets. At the front, the spirit wavers. Help is needed, supplies, more soldiers. And above all, someone to strengthen the morale of the men. In a sunlit Paris apartment sits the great idol of the French theater, Sarah Bernhardt, surrounded by her maid, doctor, and an old friend, Major Lefebvre. Already an old woman by any standards except her own, she is convalescing from an operation.
But impossible, my dear Madame Bernhardt. You are ill.
Paris is besieged, madame. You're even in danger here.
Then, Major, why remain here? The front is just as safe. Listen, gentlemen. Listen to the canary. It says life is all important. Death is an illusion.
But, madame, you could not possibly live through such a trip to the line.
The fact remains, I am going to the front that I will perform for the men.
Ah, ma foi. Now, Marie, what do you think of that?
What should I think? I'm only the maid around here. She's been stepping over me for the last 50 years.
But it's simply impossible.
Impossible? That's a word Bernhardt never learned. Doctor, have you ever kissed me?
Oh, madame, no.
Knows that this is a war, doctor. Every man for himself. Kiss me.
Oh, now, Major, Marie, I...
Well, then I will kiss you until you say I can go and won't injure my health one jot. There.
Oh, there.
What is it, Marie?
There's a big car at the door.
Good, that's your car, Major.
My car?
Come, let's be off. Hurry, Marie. Goodbye, doctor.
Oh, but now, please, I implore you, don't do that.
But I notice the army officers use first-rate automobiles.
My dear lady, if you knew
how... Oh, I know. It is the war. And a hole in the road every inch of the way.
Oh, relax, Major. Smoke a cigar. How close are we?
That's the answer.
30 minutes.
Well, I shall take a nap. Oh, I'm tired. Please don't let it rain. Michel, you went to the war once, didn't you? 30 years ago, you died for me. Michel. Michel, we must rehearse. No, really, we must rehearse. Come away from the piano. Now, look, in this scene, you make love to me. Now, you're getting paid for it.
My mind's not on my acting this morning.
1871 is a dark year for actors.
Oh, my darling. In 1871, I loved you.
No, that's not in the play.
I'll say it anyway. I'll say it to Chopin.
Wipe away your frown before the rest of the company come
Sarah,
in.
Sarah, they say that war is coming any day.
Oh, that's what worries you?
Very much. I don't like to see it happen.
Yes, but why?
I'm against war.
Oh, my dear, you're an artist. Don't bother your head about those things. If there's a war, will you put on a uniform with the rest?
Oh, no, my darling.
Oh, yes, my darling.
Never.
Look, be quiet, Michel. Here come the others. Let's rehearse. Don't let them think we quarrel.
Le Matin says it looks like war.
What did I say?
Ladies and gentlemen, do we rehearse or not?
Madame Bernhardt. Madame Bernhardt.
Quiet.
Madame Bernhardt.
Quiet. What is it?
War is declared with Bismarck's Germany.
Who sends this information?
Captain Le Couvet.
Let's go to the boulevard.
Yes. Friends, no. Let us go to the Odeon and lead the crowds in song.
Yes, please, come on.
Will you come with us, Madame Bernhardt?
No, run ahead. Wait outside. I'll join you. Oh, Michelle, you were right. It is war. It is war. Now we must do our part.
I have no enthusiasm for any part.
Oh, I don't look for disloyalty from you.
Call it what you like.
Yes, but what then? Will you come with me and sing the Marseillaise at the Odeon?
I won't, because I disapprove of the war and of the crazy emperor who declared it. That is the stand of every sensible man in France.
But now it is different.
No, you're wrong.
I'm right. I've acted my last with a traitor.
What do you mean?
I say you are a traitor to your country. We're finished.
Sarah!
Oh, enough words. You've admitted your own treason.
If my attitude is treason...
Goodbye.
Sarah, you talk of artists, of sensibility, poetry, but yet you'd gladly send hundreds of thousands of men to their death. Slaughter. Where's all the fine sentiment the moment a flag waves in front of your eyes? You speak of love of men, and yet...
I don't hear you. Let me pass.
Sarah,
let
you
me
must...
pass. There.
At the front. You've been napping.
Yes. Did I talk in my sleep, Marie?
You've been muttering Michel for miles.
Michel? An old friend of mine, Major. He went to the war in 71 for me. He was killed. We are here? This is the place?
Yes, madame.
Yes, but where?
Somewhere in France, madame. May I help you?
If you please.
Take my hand. This way.
Thank you, Major.
Mind that.
Oh, but this place is not safe.
By no means.
In all the rain and mud, I still smell frying meat.
We take care of our men. This way, please. Carefully.
And this place was once a church.
Once.
Assassin. Stand there, child, out of the rain. There, on the stone steps.
Now, madame, I won't mince words. A large responsibility rests with you here. The morale of the troops is low. They've recently had their first sleep in 60 hours. In another 12, they must be thrust into the line again. From the beginning, we thought that you...
might restore them to what heart is lacking.
Exactly. 12 hours from now. France...
I understand my work, Major. Oh, but that enemy is not sleeping.
No, here's the runner coming.
I'm begging pardon, Major.
Ah, Lieutenant Boudier, I mistook you for the runner.
Dr. Weber sends his compliments.
Yes?
To Madame Bernhardt.
Yes, what is it?
There's a seriously wounded man in a hospital here, and he asked for a moment of your time. A man named Dubois.
Dubois?
A most ordinary name.
But a dying man?
Yes, he insists he's an old friend.
Let us go. Lead the way, my brave lieutenant.
This way, madame.
Give yourself a chance, Dubois.
Magic, sir. Magic.
A grand old lady coming down the corridor.
If you say old, you're more blind than I am.
With a major, the lieutenant, and another lady.
Oh, so young, her voice.
You may go now, orderly. Dubois, here is Madame Bernhardt herself.
Oh, how good she is. Where?
Dubois, here.
Oh, please, madame, your hand. I can't see. Thank you. Oh, you're so good to come here for a dying man. Do you... remember me, madame?
I think, yes.
Oh, there's doubt in your voice, but I understand. There's not much of the face left to see. But, madame, Louis Dubois, for 7 years, your best prompt...
You'll exhaust yourself, my friend.
Do you remember the Odeon, 1872?
72?
Mm-hmm. The year of Louis Blas. What, you forget great Victor Hugo weeping at your door?
And you were there?
Uh-huh. In the velvet-covered prompt box. The mustache was blacker then, but...
Louis. Louis Dubois. Oh, but so many years ago.
Yes.
But Louis, where are the twin boys?
Now you remember.
Yes, but the boys, the little twins.
Both gone in the July offensive.
Gentlemen, Major. This man speaks the truth. His veteran is my friend, my old prompter, Louis Dubois.
Oh, yes, madame. And now, will you talk with me? A little while.
But of course, Louis.
Oh, thanks. How well I remember your farewell performance in Paris.
Yes, Zaza.
Oh? The play wasn't Zaza that night. It was Hamlet. You played Ophelia. I remember the lace on your hair, how soft your eyes were. Oh, do you remember you came in on this line? Nymph, in thy orisons, be all my sins remembered.
Yes, and I answered, good my lord. How does your armor fall this day?
Uh-oh. for this many a day.
For this many a day. Go on, Louis. Go on, play the tune.
Oh, no, no, no. As I remember, the man who played it then didn't do so well by it. What would I do?
You wanted to be an actor, too, Louis? Remember?
I didn't know myself, but I never admitted it to anyone. And that isn't all I...
Careful, 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 Dubois. You're waking yourself.
Oh, Louis, let me put this pillow back. Lift up. There.
Oh, to see Mademoiselle and Camille. One could die happy.
You know the scene I like best?
When Armand comes in.
I'm writing him a farewell letter.
Oh, if we could run those lines, you and me.
And then go on, Louis.
Well, here goes... I come in, I snatch the letter, and I say, what does this letter contain, Camille?
A proof of my love for you. In the name of love, return it to me unread, and ask to know no more.
Camille, what does this mean?
Love for you.
But, why, those tears?
Oh, let them fall. I had forgotten. Do not heed them. I'm such a silly girl. You know, I often love to weep. See, I'm calm now. They're all gone. No more tears, but smiles. You two are smiling. I will live on that smile until we meet again. For I shall never cease to think of you. To think of you. Louis. Louis, pick up your cue. But the next line is yours. Louis!
He can't, madame. He's dead.
Oh, Marie. Oh, cover him.
There. It's done.
What's that sound?
There's a war still going on.
The policeman's to the front, madame.
Beg pardon, sir. Entire brigade to move up to the front in 45 minutes.
Thank you.
And so one more old friend has died.
Madame Bernhardt, fresh orders from headquarters. Our men go in again in 45 minutes. They need you now.
Oh, how bravely they sing. They are Frenchmen. Yes, but why are my Frenchmen led to the slaughter like Michel, like poor Dubois?
There's no time to waste over one man.
One man, one life is so little to us.
We cannot think of that. God knows it's wrong.
And in an hour, another thousand gone. No, 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 no. I will not speed more men to death.
Then comfort them.
Major, I had a lover once, Michel. A man with gentle eyes who died with a bullet through his head in 1871.
Madame, please, we've only a few minutes left for the men.
Michel, I teased. I taunted him until he went to war with a feathered cap and a gun he couldn't shoot. He said I was blindfolded by a piece of cloth, the flag of my country, overleave me, Major. Men are deeply deceived to kill this way. Michel was right.
Madame, you must come this instant, or...
Or not at all.
Exactly. The past is dead forever. The present lives.
And the future.
The men are waiting before the battle.
The future must be clean and sweet for them.
Madame, please, the men.
Michel was right.
Please, madame.
Please, Major, show me the way.
Describe it. Almost neither fish nor fowl, though all the swing dance orchestras are playing it. Christopher Columbus. Thank you. Every dance orchestra musician has seen people dancing who show by their faces and actions that they would much rather be home in bed. They're so tired, their feet drag. Their smiles seem a bit forced, and their laughter has an artificial ring to it. I hope some of these people are listening in now. Graham McNamee has an important message for them.
I certainly have, Rudy. At the end of the day, always finds you tired, too tired to enjoy yourself. It's a pretty sure sign that you're run down. And science tells us that a run-down condition often results from an underfed bloodstream. Your blood isn't carrying enough of the right kind of food to the nerves and muscles. You feel nervous and tense, and only a little effort makes you tired and logy. But when you eat 3 cakes of Fleischmann's yeast each day, you enable your blood to carry more of the proper nourishment. As this is absorbed by all the hungry muscles and nerves, you feel your stamina and energy coming back. You get through your day's work with less effort and still have plenty of pep for the evening. Doesn't it seem foolish to go struggling on when this simple, proven treatment is right at hand? Start eating Fleischmann's yeast tomorrow.
While the Yankees and I continue our 2 weeks engagement at the Arcadia in Philadelphia. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.